Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I have never seen a coach. First of all, there aren't that many coaches who've won four championships. I've never seen, let's just call it a multi-ring coach.
Right.
I've never seen this. Well, I've never seen.
We've seen it in different ways.
Have we?
Well, I'm going back to the A's, Dick Williams, and he won it in 72 and 73.
Yep.
And the owner was such a D,
right,
Charlie O'Finley, that he stepped down. And then Alvin Dart came in, and they won the next year as well. And then I think about Phil Jackson and The Last Dance, and I just was watching part of it over the weekend. And, you know, they came out, I think it was Krause, not Reinsdorf. Yes. And Krause is like, yeah, this is going to be it for Phil.
Right.
This is it. So he's going to coach this year.
That was it for everybody, though.
Right.
It was it for everybody.
It was clear that he was going to coach and maybe win his sixth, which he did, but that was going to be it. And then I already mentioned Jimmy Johnson in Dallas, where he won the two, and then he's like, nah, I think I'm good. I'm out.
That's what I'm saying, though. These people all had some sort of a hand in their own dismissal or the end or whatever.
It was the owner, who all kind of you know.
And I, like, even in that, even if we did find someone who's been fired, like someone's asking me, like, because I was there when Phil Jackson left the Lakers. I was in the room. He stood up there with his family. This is right after the Pistons had beaten the Lakers in five. And Phil's whole family is standing behind the podium before Phil even gets there. And I remember being in the room going, what are they doing up there? They didn't win. This is weird. Why are his kids up there? And then he got up there, and I was like, oh, wow, this is it. This is the whole thing crumbles from here. Kobe, Shaq, Phil, but I'm also talking about simply the way a fan base feels about said coaches. I've just never really experienced this before, where somebody hasn't built up, like, look at Tomlin in Pittsburgh right now, and by the way, he's only won one, but look at Tomlin in Pittsburgh right now, and there are people that would like the Pittsburgh Steelers to move on from Mike Tomlin, but I don't, look, I'm not in Pittsburgh. But I don't feel this kind of vitriol around the situation. I don't. I do not feel that it is this angry with regard to what's going on.
I think it is that angry in Pittsburgh, and then they out and then they win a couple more games, and it's like, oh my God, we're back in first. So and that's football. And,
sure, that's all sports.
That's been Tomlin, though. Like, he's been going like 9-8 and 8-8 and 10-7. For the better part of a decade, they've been good enough to be relevant, be a playoff team, and not get it done. And, you know, Steve Kerr, he won a title 4 years ago.
Yeah, and that kind of feels like 13 and 14, right? And I've said this a few times. Nothing will drive you more insane in sports than 500 teams. It's way worse than a losing team. A losing team, you get mad about it, and then you accept it, and you go, oh, okay, we got some building to do. We got some changes to make, okay. And you watch the sport more passively. The 500 team teases you that they're going to be good. Like, how have the Giants felt the last 3 years? Fun?
Annoying.
Super fun, right?
Super annoying.
Exactly, because they tease you.
They'll win 12 of 15 and then lose 8 of 10.
Right, and then they'll score a run in a week and a half.
That's right.
Yeah, it drives you nuts. So I understand that. I, like, believe you me, I don't watch these games and go, well, that's a hunky-dory loss. Let's go get a snack. Like, I was annoyed on Sunday. That was ridiculous, Steph, to have that kind of a performance and have it go away. I think there are fair questions to ask Steve. I think we asked a lot of them yesterday. There's always more to ask. We can't hold him for 2 hours. But, like, whoa. This is, for me, this is a lot. This is a lot for for your four-time championship winning head coach. But let's hear from you, you know? Let's go to Kev in the Bay. Kev, thank you for calling Willard and Dibbs. What's up?
What's up, guys? I just kind of want to talk about the Kuminga thing, because it reminds me of Trey Lance and Marco Luciano. Okay. Like, we were super excited for him, high ranking, high drafted Trey Lance. And then when we saw it with our eyes, the eye test, it's like, ooh, it doesn't look right. And we had to move on. Kuminga stands. It's over, man. It's over. Like, how 5 years? Like, it's over. And the Warriors are a game under 500. Mark, I remember you said in a show like a few months ago, it stuck with me, that since the Giants were under 500, we weren't going to give them any attention. Why don't we hold the same standard for the Warriors? Oh, we think more of the Warriors.
Yeah, because it's early in the year. I can answer that real straight. And Kev, thank you for remembering that. And Dibs will back me up on this. Yep, that was kind of, I said that
in about August.
Late August. Yep. It was like, when we're coming out of summer, the kids are going back to school, it's the stretch run. I'm not going to get any playoff fever or hope and spend money on this unless they're over 500. And sure, Kev, I'll do the same thing with the Warriors if that's how it's going on March 15th. I'll say the same thing.
Totally fair.
Yeah.
I think what I really want to hear about is just, I love talking Niners, playing some of the most inspiring football I've seen from them in a while.
I get it.
And that hockey team down in San Jose is that gets no love in the local media, is playing some inspiring hockey. So those are the ones, two teams that the people in the Bay want to talk about. I'm done with the Warriors. It's just, it's rough.
Thanks, Kev. It's 27 games in, and I think
they're the eight seed.
We're in sports media. You're fans. It's not as simple as who won the game last night. Let's talk about that. It's not. This is all storytelling. We're involved in stories, and the Warriors are a story, and they are at a certain point that feels a little pivotal as the trade deadline gets here. Like, I think there's going to be at least one trade. I think at least one trade. That's the other thing about this organization. Whether you want to talk about Kerr, Dunleavy, or Lacob, one thing that I really appreciate about all of them, they're not going to sit there and take anything lying down.
Right.
They're going to keep trying. When people get mad because Steve Kerr, well, just throwing crap against the wall. Right. Because what's going on doesn't work. So you got to keep trying other things.
And think about last year where he was doing the same thing, which was throwing crap against the wall. And then he eventually traded Schroeder and Slo-Mo and Melton and Wiggins. And he brought in, you know, Jimmy Butler. And so he went from, man, I have 12 guys and I don't know who to play, to you kind of finally figured out who you are going to play. And this year feels like a mirror image of that one, where right now you've got 12 or 13 guys that are playable, I suppose, and yet you can't play them all, so you'll get to the deadline and you'll find a way to package Kuminga and one or two other guys to get somebody else in here who's better than them.
Yeah, and by the way, to his point about the Kuminga thing being over, I would respond to that and go, no, it's not over. I don't mean, like, if you think that Kuminga's time with the Warriors is coming to an end, I agree with you, but that doesn't make this over, because now what happens there? What are you able to trade him for?
Right.
And so it's a story. It's a story. And what does he do? Who knows? What if, by the way, because Steve Kerr said today that it sounds like Jonathan Kuminga tomorrow night is going to be back on the floor.
I can tell you JK's been great, you know, this last week as he's been out of the rotation. He's working really hard, and I'm going to reward that. I mean, he needs to be back out there.
I mean, so I can throw a question at you right now. What happens if he plays really well over the next month? Does that make his value go up, or does that make you want to keep him?
Both, but it also makes you want to trade him.
Does it?
The value goes up, and you may want to keep him, but you also may want to trade him.
Yeah.
I don't think that any of these things are mutually exclusive. I think that we're just now in another situation where it's like when you have your computer, and all of a sudden your computer is like, oh, time for an update. And so you're like, okay. And so you update your software. That's what this is. It's like Kuminga 15.0, where it's another update, and maybe this time the features are going to be something that you actually love. And sometimes you update your phone or your computer, and it's like, God, I miss this or that. Yeah. I hate this. Or sometimes it's like, oh, cool, this is a lot easier and this is better. And that's kind of where we are with Kuminga.
I can tell you in my professional history, whenever the company tells you that they're upgrading something, I just prepare myself for 2 months of frustration.
Could be. Yeah. Yeah.
Upgrade. Oh, boy. Usually means things are broken for the next 6 weeks.
It depends on, you know, the company and the system. But,
yes.
You know, with Kuminga now, we're getting another version of Jonathan Kuminga. And now it's, you know, because Kuminga at the start of the year was, all right, you're going to start. You played great. Yeah, you got hurt. And then you came back. You got benched. And then you got DNPs. And now it's a whole nother version. So maybe this version will be like the early part of the season where he played the right way. He scored. He rebounded. He defended. We all loved him. I even said, like, yeah. Oh, you can't trade him now.
Yeah.
If you trade him, you're going to be trying to get him.
Jonathan Kuminga.
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to be trying to get an athletic wing who actually fits. So, like, what are we going to get here tomorrow? I am fascinated by the way it looks. And not just in the one game, but going forward in the next however many games or weeks heading to JK Day on Jan 15, like, what are we going to get this time?
Boy, it's like a Christmas present.
Totally.
888-957-9570. By the way, 49er fans, there will be plenty for you today. Greg Cosell joins us in a half hour. I think Juwan Jennings is a name that has not been uttered enough with some things that are going on right now with the 49ers that we need to and want to talk out. So we will. For sure. But Steve Kerr's conversation yesterday and a lot of the reaction around it has certainly struck a chord. Dave in Atherton is next. Hi, Dave. Thanks for calling Willie and Dibby.
Hey, Willie and Dib. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man.
I just want to say good for you guys for opening up the lines to some disagreement. I got shut down this morning in the morning roast, and that was kind of disheartening. Mid-sentence, so I'm not going to belabor that point. That's like pretty irrelevant. I think like just briefly touching on the Jonathan Kuminga thing, I think that there's plenty of blame to go around, but I think at this point, it's pretty clear that it's over. You know, take what you want from his injury at the beginning of the season. My personal opinion, JK returned to, I'm going to pout. Because he got yanked from the starting lineup. And I think the world of his talent. I actually think he's an incredible athlete. I just don't think that the Dubs are going to facilitate his growth. So I'm like, let's move off of him if we can't do it. Now, I do have one question for you guys.
Yes, sir.
I want your honest opinion about this.
That's
what
all we ever get.
About, yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. Kerr said that he's not playing Will Richard because of seniority and, you know, the numbers.
Yes.
I think the numbers speak to Will Richard's productivity. What do we think about Kavon last year getting benched for Quinn Post or for Clay getting benched by Pods? Both of those guys were producing better numbers, but they weren't the senior. So is this like... Well, I just don't understand the DMP for Will Richards. I don't understand.
Yeah, Dave, this
is
a...
That's why you have frustration with Kerr. Like, what are we doing?
Oh, I don't... And by the way, Dave, thank you. I don't mind frustration with Kerr. I'm talking about this has gone down a road of...
Get him out of here.
This bleeping, this firebutt. Like, I mean, there is vitriol.
And normally I would like tell you that you are like, oh, you're listening too much to the lunatic fringe and you're listening to like the small minority. But in this case, I do think that it's a larger body of the fans than it normally is. Because sometimes you and I, and you call it the echo chamber and you're right, you listen to like 8 people or 12 people or texters or YouTubers or whatever, and it becomes a thing. But I do believe the anti-Steve Kerr group is larger than maybe most people think.
And louder.
Yes.
Larger and louder. Now to the Will Richard point, this is an interesting one, and this got a lot of people's attention yesterday. Which one is this, Grandy? Where's the one where he talks about how Will Richard essentially...
It's the one Grandy's hot on.
Yeah.
It's the bottom one.
Essentially not playing because he's a rookie. Here we go.
You just can't play more than 10 or 11. And, you know, we're getting healthy, not completely healthy, but we're almost there. So it's been tough not playing him, because I'm a huge fan and a believer, and he offers us stability and decision making, good shooting. So he's just got to stay with it. Right now, he's sitting because he's a rookie. I'm honoring what the older guys have done over the years. I think that's good for chemistry. I think this is kind of how it goes. You have to, you know, guys have to earn their stripes, and you give everybody a fair look, and then you continue on through the season. So he could very easily find himself back in the.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Rotation.
Okay, and this got a lot of people because it seems to maybe butt heads a little bit with what he said about Jonathan Kuminga's DNPs. This was him responding to me saying, hey, I got people telling me that this feels personal between maybe you and the organization and Jonathan. Here's what he said.
That couldn't be farther from the truth. We treat all of our players with the utmost dignity and respect, and all we try to do is win. And part, you know, I've talked about this publicly. I don't think it's a secret. It has been a tricky fit at times, and you know, he's a really talented player, and he's had some really good moments, and then there's been times where it hasn't clicked. The last couple of weeks, it was a tough fit, and so we went in the opposite direction just to try to see if we could find a little more rhythm, and it's as simple as that.
Dibs, I don't know about you. My response to this is when he says Will Richards not playing because he's a rookie, first of all, it was not the first thing he said about it, and
right.
Then he circles to it, and he says – it's kind of a team chemistry thing. I think it's good for team chemistry, which that's a winning characteristic. I don't know if it's helping team chemistry or
right,
not.
Right, right.
But what I'm hearing him say is that all of these things are temporary. So when somebody goes,
right.
Hey, we've got these numbers on Will Richard, Steve has not banished him. He's not playing right now. That might change as quickly as tomorrow. Same for Jonathan.
Right.
And I think Steve is admitting that he is searching and he is on a journey of lineups and he has not found it yet. Is that the fault of his? I guess so. That's his job.
It's the fault of his because of the results.
Yeah.
You and I talk a lot about process versus results, and the results haven't been there. So then you look at the lineups and say, well, maybe you're screwing it up.
Sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
The idea of chemistry. The thing I heard him say there is it's easier for you to bench, and he's not being benched, he's just not in the rotation, but it's easier to do that to a rookie, a guy who has no real expectation.
Absolutely.
He was a second-round pick who many thought were ticketed to the G League. Grandy and I talked to him at Summer League, and we both were like, oh my God, this guy's got moxie, and he's got confidence, and he came out and he played like that, and he played well. And he's actually done very well, but you're at a spot where you're a rookie and you're not going to play him all 82 anyway. So it's okay to give him a few games off and then let maybe GP2, a guy who I think if you put him on ice for a long time, it's harder to get a 33-year-old or 32-year-old back in the fray. Whereas a rookie, yeah, you know, you're going to sit for a couple weeks or maybe you go to Santa Cruz and then you come back. That's how it goes, Rook.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I know people get very mad when there's like politics involved in decisions. I'm sorry, there are politics involved in every decision, every day, all the time. That, like, there is this meritocracy thing that everybody seems to want, where like the Warriors go out and play, let's play all 14 of them, and whoever gets the most points, you, like, we're going to play Survivor. We joke that we're playing Survivor. They're not actually playing Survivor. They're not going to vote anybody off of the team and then just keep moving through. No, it doesn't. Like, he's searching for a lineup, and they haven't found it yet. And that's not okay. And so we can have that discussion. But I don't think that some of you caught him in the hypocrisy that maybe you think you caught him in yesterday. That's my take. I don't think you did. I think you did. Wait a minute. You said it's only about winning. Well, who the hell said that Will Richard playing is definitely what gives them the best chance to win? It's Will Richard. He's nice. I haven't ever watched a Warrior game and been like, can't win without Will Richard. It's nice, but I also have seen nice things from all the people who are playing. That's the problem. Once you get to number four in the lineup, it's just a bunch of I don't knows from night to night.
That's the thing. And, you know, you want to talk about Survivor and who has immunity. It's Jimmy, Draymond, and Steph, end of list. And you could probably throw Pods in there, too, because Pods plays every game, and he plays all the time, more than most fans want. But beyond that, the other players, either they're old and not available, or they're young and one-way players, or they're rookies. And so Steve is trying to find 9 or 10 guys he can really bank on, and he doesn't have that yet.
Yeah, I get it. I get how that made people feel. But I kind of agree with you. The comment about being a rookie was Steve saying, look, I'm searching for a lineup. I can't play 14, and I can afford to put him over there for a week and check out some other things because he's a rookie. That's the way I took it. I get it if you took it differently, but that's the way that's how I look at it.
As a guy who's coached a ton of high school varsity sports, you have a freshman who is on your team. And yeah. Thank you. Your freshman comes in, and your freshman plays great. And then you got a senior over there, and you're looking down the bench, and you're thinking, well, if I don't get my senior back in there, then the senior might become a poisonous force on the bench, or I might just lose him. And when the freshman inevitably hits that wall or goes into a tank, I don't have that senior to lean on anymore.
I mean, this is part of what makes coaches great, even when they have great players. The Phil Jacksons, the Steve Kerrs, the Greg Popoviches, if you will. You want to talk about this, like, part of what makes them great is not these X's and O's that so many of, the system and the all. Part of it is managing the egos. And I think that's what he was talking about right there. Will Richard doesn't have one yet. It's a second-round rookie.
Exactly.
He's part of the Stay Ready crew.
Yeah, and you had me thinking about Willy Adames, because remember early in the year last year, yeah. April and May, he was really struggling. But Willy Adames is a guy who plays every day. So you're going to play him every day because that's his comfort zone and that's what he always does. But he's hitting 206. And I think you got to Colorado and you finally were like, Willie, I mean, you need a day. We're giving you a day and you're going to have a day. And I know he wasn't thrilled about it, but then he comes back and he starts hitting and he's better. And it's like, sometimes you have to do these things despite players. And if it's Will Richard, you're a rook. I mean, he's going to be fine. He's still going to play probably 70 games this year. And you know what? You said it. He might play tomorrow.
He might. He's definitely going to play at some point.
It's tomorrow, right? I mean, they haven't played in so long. I don't even know.
It is tomorrow, yes. It is tomorrow.
Remember when they used to play all the time? How fun that was?
We all wanted them to get a break, and now I'm like, not enough games.
They've played twice in like 9 days.
I know.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.